Good evening. I'll open with an invocation. Heavenly Father, we ask for your guidance, wisdom, and support as we begin this meeting. We gather here today intent on doing good work. We seek to represent fairly and well those who have given us this task. Help us engage in meaningful discussion. Give us clarity and strength to use our best skills and judgment. Bless this community, its residents, businesses, and visitors. And help us to continue in doing good work in your name. Amen. Call to order, roll call, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Here.
Councilmember Bracken?
Present.
Councilmember Davis?
Here.
Councilmember Brooks?
Present.
Councilmember Dietz?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Here.
Mayor Gray?
Here.
All are present.
Thank you. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, again, we have a sparse crowd tonight, but that's fine and dandy. I think that part of it has to do with the vote. Today's the election. If you have forgotten or not voted yet, you're welcome to take off and come back. That way you can get it done if you somehow forgot by now. Also, one of the things I wanted to mention was November's Men's Health Awareness Month, mainly to do with cancer and cancer-related thing, but also mental health as well. And so, make sure you keep your friends who are men and women in your thoughts, and make sure we're all doing good things for everybody. Last several council meetings, I've been trying to highlight a department. Tonight's department highlighting is Parks and Rec. One of the things that right now we're going on is starting about mid-October was the putting all the lights up. And putting the lights up with Parks and Rec is it's yeoman's work. I mean, it is 6 to 8 weeks of really hard work and planning pretty much year-round, because some of those lights are left up year-round and some are yanked down, and it's a big job. So we do appreciate that. One of the things I wanted to highlight as well is Lost Canyon Ranch. 681 acres, going to be open even more next year. Right now we're doing special events and stuff out of it, but 681 acres is no joke. It's one of the biggest parks in the Front Range. East Plum Creek reopened this year, 9 miles earlier spring, or late spring this year. So that was great. We also do a lot of work Parks and Rec does with Tri-Arts. This year they had over besides Tri-Art partnership, mostly at the Cantrell School, that we had over 20,000 volunteers in Castle Rock. And one of the big things I wanted to make sure I mentioned, and Jeff wanted to make sure I mentioned this because it was really, really important to him that he made sure I mentioned that he was the 2025 fellow for the Colorado Recreation Association. Actually, that is absolutely not true, because I know that Jeff does not want the attention, but he deserves it. Jeff is doing amazing work out there, and you got the fellowship for Colorado Recreation Association for leadership and the things he has been doing in Castle Rock for quite some time. So I really appreciate that as well. And with that, Councilmember Hollingshead.
No comment tonight. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Bracken.
Thank you, Mayor. No comments.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
None. Thank you.
Councilmember Brooks.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We all know here in Castle Rock how superior we are in every way to the town of Parker. They're our Douglas County neighbor, and I like them a lot. They're adorable. It's always good to have that rivalry, but tonight I want to extend kind of a heartfelt just reach out to them. They suffered a loss in their community, a baseball player that had recently committed to play D1 baseball at UNLV, as part of the Legend Titans baseball club, where my son had also played baseball, and lost him to cancer. And we understand how devastating cancer can be, and hear about it all the time with folks that probably we know, family and such, and every life that cancer takes is highly unfortunate. It hits a little bit different when you're talking about a young kid as well. Hashtag cancer sucks. And, you know, my heart, our hearts go out to the Parker community and the Legend Titan, Legend High School community tonight. So just wanted to let them know that on this night, and I'll stand arm in arm with them.
Thank you, Max. I appreciate you doing that. Councilmember Dietz.
Thank you, Council. November 11th is Veterans Day. Just hope people can get out there and just remember every year men and women are given one special day, Veterans Day. Memorial Day is the time you remember, but pat a veteran, a former service member, an active service member on the back. This Saturday, November 8th at 11 a.m., downtown at the Douglas County, well, it's by the memorial there with all the flags, but right in front of the building, we're going to be doing, starting at 11 sharp, going to be doing a Veterans Day celebration. I myself am a Navy veteran, but there's a lot of veterans who have done a heck of a lot more than I have. I just say, come on out, appreciate them. I'd like to say more, but it's a wonderful ceremony, and without our veterans, I think y'all know that. Where would we be? So I want to thank our veterans. The 8th is Saturday, 11 a.m., but the actual Veterans Day is at the 11th. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councilmember Dietz. Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
Nothing tonight. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Moving on to the proclamation, Proclamation 2025-14, Proclamation for Crash Responder Safety Week, November 17th through the 21st, 2025. Whereas the town is committed in treating all roadway deaths and serious injuries as preventable and unacceptable, and whereas we are committed to minimize the frequency of secondary crashes, including responder struck by fatalities and injuries, through a focus on responsive staging, enforcement, and education, whereas we are committed to reducing traffic congestion for all road users through the safe, quick traffic incident clearance, whereas we are committed to collecting and applying crash data to improve the safety of all road users, whereas we are committed to promoting public education and outreach on the move over laws, and whereas we are committed to following the best practices of traffic incident management as outlined in our federal, state, and local partners. Now, therefore, we, the Town Council of Castle Rock, hereby proclaim November 17th to the 21st, 2025 Crash Responder Safety Week throughout the town. We also continue our efforts to jointly improve safety across all of our roadways and recognize those who are known to put themselves in harm's way to respond to a roadway incident. It all encourages residents to use extreme caution, slow down, and move over when approaching a roadway incident for the safety of all of our incident responders. Passed, approved, and adopted the fourth day of 2025 in November by the Town Council of the Town of Castle Rock, Colorado. Thank you very much, guys. And then next up, I have on the agenda number 2025-119, Bob Pasnick.
Hi, I'm Bob Pasnick. I am director of Douglas County Libraries. I'm going from council to council in cities and towns, Parker before you, but I'm a Castle Rock resident, so not least, but last. Just to do a check-in with you, give you a little really quick report card on who we are. We're 35 years old, and we serve you in the town here, and then any questions or anything I can do for you in communication back and forth. How do you know a library is a good one? It's actually not very easy. You get a board together, everybody's got a different vision. Some people, it's all about outputs. As long as graphs are going up and to the right, everything is good. Some, it's about outcomes. And we look at third grade reading scores. Is the library doing its job with that? Some, it's about, are we getting enough money or are we using too much money? Are we winning awards? Or I've got folks who just want to put their eyes on it, and if it looks good, it's good enough for them. Here's how we take a look at ourselves with our report card. We do Net Promoter Score, which is a metric used in businesses all over the United States. Quarterly, we can get 1,000 of our customers. We random sample that 1,000, and we ask them to score us out. This year, our score is 90. you can get a minus 100 to a plus 100, so that's the scale on it. A 90 is kind of rarefied air, and we're humbled that our folks would score us a 90. We also look at what percentage of Douglas County households actually have an active card with us. Right now that stands at 85%. We look at our door count. We didn't want to just see what's the traffic inside of the library. Right now we're at about 341,000. That's up about 40,000 year to date. We also have two internal metrics, probably meant the most post-pandemic, but just how much turnover do we have in our staff? You'll see it again, we're open 431 hours a week, and having that staff there means business continuity to us. Our staff turnover rate's about 3%, and then we do a Gallup Q12 engagement poll every single year, and we're at 73. 75 is sort of rarefied air, so we've got some room to grow in terms of engagement. Money. We spend about 48% of our total budget on staff, and then I just want to draw your attention to what our peers spend on staff. The question might come back is, if it's 48 and everyone's spending a lot more, are we underpaying our folks? We actually go out to market every single year. We have three databases for every single job and look at are we giving people market rate? We're actually at or beating the market rate with every single position. And then if you just say, well, how much money per person do we get? We're right in the middle of a national peer survey. So if you look at Douglas County Libraries, we're about $98 per person. And then there are about half of our peer group that's more, half that's less. We're sort of right in that middle position. This year, we've got a $45 million budget. $5 million of that is devoted to tax rebate to tax holders. We were in a situation where property taxes, which is the lion's share of our budget, were going up, and our board said it's too much. And so we've got $5 million going back. We're putting $2 million just into CapEx this year and about $38 million into operations. We fund four things, so we're really pretty tidy in what we do. I have peers that earn to 48 things. We're only doing four. We spend 78% of our budget on what I call the classic library. You go into a classic library, and I'll bet if I ask you five descriptors of it, you'll name them. Great service. We do content. We do sort of a platform where you can work from home, but you can't seem to do it with the dog and with all the distractions, but you can do it in our co-working spaces. We do 12% of everything we do is just for youth and families, 8% for events and hospitality, and about 2% in what I call alternative education. So for example, we work with local business to help them do a business plan, a competitive analysis. We have two people who can research almost anything they need for their business. That's what's under that sort of small 2% piece. So that's us really fast and in a nutshell, and we are humbled and grateful to serve you. I think another thing about us that's probably unique is in 10 years we've renewed almost every one of our physical buildings. You were one of the latest in 2023. We opened a facility here, and we've done all of that without increases of taxes or any particular debt. So we set aside a certain percentage of our budget every year for capital, and we pursue the projects as quickly as we can because every year they're more expensive. How can I serve you?
Any questions for Bob? Mayor Pro Tem.
Actually, I just want to thank you. My mom was staying with me for about 9 months until she got herself settled. She's almost 80. She's from Omaha. And she went to the library almost every day. And it was just a place for her to go where she felt very welcome. And she thought it was one of the best libraries that she's ever been in, you know, the new one over here. So I just want to say thank you. You guys are doing a great job. And I appreciate it very much because it meant a lot to my mom.
And we're rewarded to serve her.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob. Again, the new building is not new anymore, but it's fantastic, and thanks for reinvesting in Castle Rock.
And we'll call it a new building for 10 years, right?
Okay, there
that's
you
what we did.
Anything you want to add, and anything further from council? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Now I have time reserved for members of the public to make a presentation onto council or on items or issues that are not scheduled on the agenda. As a general practice, council will not discuss or debate these items, nor will council make a decision on these items presented during this time. Rather, they may refer them to staff for follow-up. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per speaker, 30 minutes total. Residents will be given their order of priority. They have signed up, followed by non-residents representing town of Castle Rock businesses, then non-residents and the businesses outside of town of Castle Rock as time permits. Council is also accepting public comments submitted online at crgov.com/councilcomments by 1 p.m. today to be included in the public record. I do have one person signed to speak. I have Sarah Warren. Yep, Sarah, it's a silver button right in front of you.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're good. Right in front of you, it's a silver button. No, you're good.
Thank you. I just wanted to say thank you for your time today. I'm Sarah Warren. I live off of 5th Street, across the street from the Castle Rocks Eponymous Park, with my husband and a rescue dog. Unfortunately, we don't have a sidewalk on our side of the street. We were very excited when we heard about the proposal to get a sidewalk back in 2022, but that was pushed back twice, and now it's scheduled for late 2028. We see cyclists and walkers walking in front of our dirt road, on our dirt road, like daily to get to Rock Park or go to the shop. We are included in those people. I see signs that 5th Street has been widening its roadway, and we were wondering if there's any way to bump up the sidewalk project up in the priority list.
Thank you, Sarah. I know that we're looking into anything we can do.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Thank you. I have no one else had to speak. If someone else wishes to speak, please approach the podium and speak to the microphone. State your name, whether you're a resident, non-resident, or business owner. You have 3 minutes to speak. Seeing none, we move on to the town manager's report.
Good evening. Thank you, Mayor. I'm not Dave Corliss, but I'm filling in for him tonight, so we'll go through a few things as typical here. So first, we do have the calendar reminders. As Councilmember Dietz pointed out, next Tuesday is Veterans Day, so that is a town holiday. Our general offices will be closed, but as you'll see on the slide, that the Rec Center, MAC, and Cantrill will be open, operating as normal hours on Tuesday. We also have the Thanksgiving holiday coming up here in December, but a couple of things I really do want to point out on here to make sure that you touch base with Shannon to RSVP if you have not already. Please take a look for the PDCG event on November 12th and the Toys for Tots event and the Douglas County State of the County event in December. If you have not RSVP'd for those yet, please do reach out to Shannon to make sure that you're included there if you'd like to be. Other events, we are entering that holiday season, so we do have a pie bake-off on Saturday this weekend. I'm sure Jeff would be able to point us towards the judging table if we need to there. But we do have a number of holiday events coming up. Of course, starlighting coming on November 22nd, and getting into all of the other holiday events through December here as well that you can see on the screen. There are some neighborhood meetings upcoming with the Yarbers Site Development Plan coming on November 12th. One of the town projects with Fire Station 156, the first neighborhood meeting for that project, is happening on November 17th for individuals in that area and anybody that wants to talk more about that project. There is a tentative meeting planned for Canyons Far South on December 4th. And other meetings upcoming, we do have the CDBG public input meeting on Monday, November 10th. And there is a CDOT Mobility Hub meeting coming up as well on November 17th. So that's what we have for you for calendar reminders this evening. We do have a water court case information in your packet as well from Mark and his team. We do just point to that so you can read through that and reach out with any questions you may have. And lastly, for the town manager's report, we'll turn it over to Tara for her regular update of what's going on in her world.
Try to keep it short because I know the agenda is long. Just kidding. Okay, so this is your 1st of November update on new pre-applications and any new quasi-judicial applications, but we don't have any new quasi-judicials. So for pre-applications, I'm going to walk through these. I did want to give Councilmember Brooks and you all an update that we are running at about 29% of these pre-applications over the last year have turned into real projects. So it fluctuates, and so I know that was a question a couple meetings ago. Up from 25% the month before. So it's, you know, it's how it works. So District 2 in Mayor Pro Tem Cavey's district, we have a pre-application from Vero Fiber. So this is just a small project right now, 700 linear feet of a new fiber line, but it's part of a bigger project that they have planned to bring fiber out to this area. And this is on Castle Oaks Drive, right up against or adjacent to Parker Road Highway 83. In Councilmember Bracken's district, we have a pre-application in really the Meadows. It's the New Haven HOA. They are looking to see if making changes to their tap size would actually make a change to their watering rates and their irrigation if their landscaping works will work for that. In District 4, Councilmember Davis's district, we have a pre-application for Trifecta Sports Bar. So this is a newly opened restaurant in the building right there at the I-25 exit for Meadows and Founders, a three-story sports bar. They're looking to see what the process is to install some lighting or if it's possible to kind of do a lighted rim around the edge of their building on their roof line. And then down on Prairie Hawk, we have a proposal for RV storage, outdoor storage of vehicles and equipment. This property at 646 Prairie Hawk is really at the end of past where the pavement ends on Prairie Hawk, and it is on the east side of the railroad tracks there, so it does have some challenges. We've had a couple of pre-apps on this over the last year or so. District 6, Councilmember Dietz's district, we have a pre-application on Emerald Hills. So this area is currently just south of the Plum Creek Golf Course and just adjacent to the newly constructed or re-envisioned Emerald Park. It is platted as 7 vacant lots right now, and they're looking to see what the process would be to change it to 12 single-family lots. And then we have one annexation request, so it's adjacent to various council members' districts. This is adjacent to both Councilmember Brooks and Dietz's districts, 567 Lake Gulch Drive. This is at the, as you can see, south of the roundabout of Lake Gulch and Plum Creek Parkway. This property, it's the second pre-app we've had, I think, in the last couple of months. So they're looking to see what the process is to annex and rezone to a planned development, but they haven't provided information yet on what type of uses would go on it, whether it's commercial or residential. So with that, I do want to showcase the new town map. You will find this online on all of our mapping products, but the Pine Canyon annexation was recently recorded, so that jurisdictional boundary has been added in, and that is now featured in all of our town maps. So I know that was an approval a while ago, but it does take a little bit to get all of the Mylars and documents executed and recorded. So just wanted to showcase the new map and happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Tara? Councilmember Brooks.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Was the update on the potential build-out estimates part of your update, or was that something that, you know, was, I'd see it on the agenda? But
it's in the packet. It's not something we normally present on, but happy to answer any questions.
I think that
on
might actually be
that
interesting to anybody who's watching, just kind of understands, you know, what that projection might be or possibly how that's changed. Just do a quick little piece of that.
Yeah, and I think going forward on these, we update that report every quarter, so we could do a slide. I can do a slide that gives that update. But what we do at the end of each quarter is we update how we track all of the entitled residential units in town, what's actually been platted to date, and then how many of those lots actually have COs or certificates of occupancy on them. So how many of them have structures or dwellings, and we're just tracking residential units in this report that could be occupied. We're not forecasting whether a family moved in or one moved out and it's for sale. So in that, we look at all of our residential entitlements townwide and estimate what our future population would be, and then each quarter we update what's actually built to date. We also go into, in that report, a realistic build out. So we touch on some areas of town are entitled or zoned to allow more units than are physically built today, so we do a realistic quantifier on that. So I actually don't have that report right in front of me, Councilmember Brooks, but the full build-out that we talk about when we say our realistic build-out is between 120,000 to 140,000 in population, and I believe our current data gets us closer to 88,000 right now, 87,000. So our growth rate over the last year has really slowed down. We also use the state demographer's office to determine how many people, the average number of people per home, right? It used to be a little higher than 2.8. Now it's sliding a little bit lower than 2.8, so we adjust that. So I think next quarter I'll be sure and have a slide on it.
Yeah, I'm sorry to, you know, to throw you the curveball and trip you up on it.
It's been in there every quarter, and it's been a while since anybody's asked.
And it's a moving target, and I understand that it's hardly, it's somewhat scientific, but it's absolutely not meant to be set in stone, because it is something that changes quite often. But yeah, as a lot of these development projects focus more on infill, I think that I'm just hearing the conversation come up more and more about what our projected build out is going to be, because I think people are starting to see that there might be light at the end of the tunnel. You know, with we're at 90 and we're talking about 120, that's a heck of a lot closer to getting to the point where we are more built out than certainly, you know, 5, 6, 10 years ago. But thank
and
you.
I'd be happy at the December 2nd meeting, the next time I have this update, give a slide that shows kind of where we're at, because when we track it quarterly, we're also taking into account any rezonings you all have recently approved that are typically decreases in units, and then we do have some obviously that increase our units, like Pine Canyon. We don't track, like Pine Canyon is not in the report for this quarter because it wasn't reported, and so we don't record until it's recorded. We don't adjust the numbers, if that makes sense, just to make sure it's all good. But I can show a graph that shows how the number of entitlements have gone up and down over the years. And really in the last decade, we have reduced our entitlements almost the last two decades. So, great. Thank you.
No, and I, one, these kind of things also really interest me, kind of geek me out a little bit, and kind of nerd I can be. But like, you know, I think it's interesting, is from 2012 to 2022, we grew around 2.5% a year for 10 years. And then in the last, since 2023, we've grown about 1%, give or take, a little more in 2023 and 24, and a little less this year. So it's just interesting to me about the percentage of growth as well. So, sorry.
Good stuff. Numbers are cool.
Anything else for Tara? Thank you, Tara. Anything else, Matthew?
No, Mayor, that's all tonight.
Thank you. Moving on to town attorney's report.
I have no report for you tonight, Mayor.
Thank you, Michael.
You bet.
Moving on to the substance of the agenda. There are no changes, additions, or deletions to the agenda. A motion to accept the agenda as presented will be accepted.
So move to accept the agenda.
I got a first by Hollinshead, a second by Councilmember Davis. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollinshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks?
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Aye.
Motion passed unanimously.
Thank you. Moving on to the consent calendar. These items are generally routine in nature and have been previously reviewed by town council and will be voted on a single motion. Without discussion, any member of the town council may remove an item from the consent calendar. Number 8, Ordinance 2025-36, Ordinance repealing and replacing sections 10.04.010 and 10.04.020 and 10.04.030 and 10.04.040 Municipal Code, adopted by reference as a primary code and certain amendments to the Model Traffic Code for Colorado, November 2024, Revision 1.0, and amending sections of 10.20 and 0.040 and 10.20 and 0.050 Municipal Code to accurately reference relevant state statutes. Number 9, Ordinance 2025-37, Ordinance approving the supplemental appropriations for the 2025 budget and a third amendment to the 2025 budget as well. Approved on first reading at October 21st. Number 10, Ordinance 2025-38, Ordinance vacating certain right-of-way located within the section of one quarter of the section 11, Township 8, range 67 west of 6 p.m. Town of Castle Rock, County of Douglas County, State of Colorado. And number 11, minutes 2025-21, minutes October 21st, 2025 Town Council meeting. I'll accept the motion.
Move to approve the consent calendar.
Second.
First by Mayor Pro Tem Cavia, second by Councilmember Brooks. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks?
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavia?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Yes.
Motion passed unanimously.
Thank you. Quasi-judicial hearings. The following items are due process hearing required under Colorado law. To afford all parties due process under law, town council members must be fair and impartial in deciding whether an application should be approved with conditions, or denied. In making that determination, each council member must consider for the record, which includes planning commission recommendation, staff recommendation, applicant presentation, public comment presented during the hearing, and other written public comments written and before or during the hearing. Under law, town council must evaluate the proposal based solely upon the record and criteria established under municipal code, which is highlighted in the staff report. It is important that each council member remain objective and capable of considering information offered into the record during the hearing. If any council member believes he or she is incapable of evaluating and voting on the application consistent with its due process requirements, please describe the situation and recuse yourself from further participation. Does any council member have a conflict of interest that he or she would like to disclose? Madam Clerk, has the public hearing been properly noticed under applicable regulations for this type of land use hearings?
Yes, Mayor, it has.
Thank you. Council will now hear from the applicant, public, and staff. Public comments will be taken limited to 4 minutes per speaker. Number 12, Resolution 2025-140, resolution approving the site development plan for commercial development within Plum Creek West Plan Development. Tara Vargas.
All right, good evening. So this is the Foundation Auto Dealership site development plan. I'll start first with the vicinity map. This parcel is just under 6.5 acres in size, is located on South Wilcox Street, so it's east of I-25. You can see in this image that it is also south of the Castle Rock Autoplex, so the Chevy and Ford dealership on South Wilcox, also referred to as the East Frontage Road. And it is north of Castle Rock Auto Storage. That's the building you see just to the south there. So a little history on this project, or this property. We haven't looked at it recently. It was rezoned in 1985 to the Plum Creek West PD. That's the current zoning on it today. It does allow office and retail uses as a use by right. The proposal tonight, which is automotive sales, repair, and a service facility, those are allowed in the zoning through the use by special review process. So that's why this site development plan is going through this public hearing process tonight. So a little bit about the site development plan. In this image that you see, north is now to your left. And so Wilcox, South Wilcox Street is on the bottom of the map. They're proposing, you see in blue, 32,826 square foot dealership and service center. So that's the main building situated on the property. Overall on the site, there's 385 parking spaces. Obviously, some of those are for inventory, but they exceed the town's requirement of 139 parking spaces. The building height they're proposing is just under 30 feet. The zoning allows up to 35 feet. For access to the site, with the red arrows, there will be a newly constructed entrance on South Wilcox Street. This is proposed as a three-quarter turn, so you can take a right out of the site, and you can take a left into the site, but you can't take a left out. So they have some other images, and they'll explain the traffic flow pattern better in this area. But that's the three-quarter limited access on Wilcox Street. The second red arrow is showing a connection into the existing Chevy and Ford dealerships. They have the main full-movement access on Wilcox Street. The applicant will also be showing improvements they're making at the existing dealership's entrance, most primarily to be adding a left turn lane into the property and then through lanes that can bypass that. And they've got, as I mentioned, an exhibit that will show that in greater detail. So a little bit else about it. So this project did have three neighborhood meetings. You can see they were very lightly attended this year. The questions that were asked had to do with where the water and sewer connections were made and the timing of the construction. Our site development plan criteria that you're used to seeing is in 1738 in the municipal code. So these are the five main areas we look at as we do our review, as well as all of the technical design criteria for sites. Use by special review projects also have to show compliance with these five criteria in Chapter 1739, really demonstrating compatibility with the existing uses and surrounding areas and showing how they're mitigating any impacts that they have. This site does meet all of our criteria. We do, staff did find that it has adequate landscaping and buffering and is compatible with the existing auto dealerships and car storage facilities in the area. So staff reviewed this against the comprehensive master plan, the Plum Creek West 1985 zoning, as well as the municipal code sections. This went to Planning Commission in October, and they voted 5-0 to recommend approval of the Foundation Auto Dealership and Service Center tonight. So with that, I have proposed motions for your consideration, and the applicant is with us tonight with a slightly more detailed presentation. So
Thank
happy
you.
To answer any questions now or after.
Absolutely. Before we go to public comment, Councilmember Dietz.
Thank you very much on this. Question I have is obviously lighting. I know we already have the ordinance. If you could talk about that, because obviously people live along the golf course, don't want to see illuminating light, stuff like that, when we all know there's going to be a bright shiny Costco coming in sooner or later too. But could you explain how that's going to come out for those?
Yeah, the majority of their parking lot has to comply with our our buildings are required to have shielded wall packs and lights on them, so they're all shielded. The parking lot has to comply with our typical parking lot lighting. Auto dealers are allowed some display area with slightly brighter lighting. Theirs is going to be along Wilcox Street and I believe right along the north edge adjacent closest to the existing Chevy dealership. Okay, great. Just want to make sure.
Not impacting and heading towards the housing.
Obviously. No forward throw, no throwing in that direction. They will comply with our typical parking lot lights on all of the main parts of their lot, including the rear sides of their lot. So.
And if I remember right, there was always the way back when there was the to-do about big signage lighting that we don't allow in Castle Rock either, correct?
Right. We allow any normal sign to be changed out to an LED electronic sign, but if they want any larger size sign, then that would be a council project. They have not requested that, and actually it was the previous owner of the auto dealership to the north that had pursued that. The current owners have never expressed an interest in pursuing that.
Thank you. Any more questions for Tara or staff? Thank you. Seeing none, I will now open to the public. I have no one signed up to speak. If there's someone who wishes to speak, please approach the podium. Oh, sorry.
The applicant also has a presentation.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yes,
sorry.
Sorry about that. So,
We're moving on to the applicant's presentation.
Thank you. The applicant, Casey Drogna, is with us tonight, and he has his presentation to walk through.
Good evening, council members and Mayor Gray. Thank you for this opportunity to present this project to you. My name is Casey Adranya. I'm with Adranya Architecture and Development and a Parker resident, sorry to say. So I won't get into too much detail. I'll try to get through it relatively quickly. Staff has done a great job of presenting all the big items. Let's see, 385 parking spaces, approximately 32,000 square foot building on a 6.43 acre site. It's anticipated that this facility, once complete, will employ approximately 50 people. I'm sure you guys know this area well. We have major intersections, Plum Creek and I-25 to the north and Crystal Valley Parkway to the south. This project is approximately in the middle of those two on the east side of I-25. Zooming in a little bit more, as you can see, this will be directly south of the existing dealerships, Castle Rock Autoplex, in that area. This whole area is owned by Foundation Automotive, and this development is meant to be continuous with that, as just carrying on the uses of the directly dealerships to the north. Site plan, just some keys. We'll be extending the sidewalk from the existing dealerships to the north all the way to our southern property line. So this will kind of create a nice sidewalk connection. We just finished a project to the north end, which is a Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram project. It's on the north end of the Castle Rock Autoplex, where we, you know, redid the sidewalk along there. So we will now have, you know, a really nice sidewalk connection from Wilcox and Brookside Circle all the way to the south end of this development. So this is a piece that I really wanted to touch on. I think it was a good example of the partnership between staff and the developers to not necessarily just focus in on our little blip of property that we're looking to propose a development, but looking to kind of tie it all in together. I'm sure if any of you are familiar with Wilcox, South Wilcox in this area, it's quite hazardous, particularly if you're driving southbound on South Wilcox, attempting to turn left into the main dealership here. There's nowhere to go. So if you're stopped waiting to turn left, and you just hope that the traffic behind you is going to stop as well. So a part of, you know, the traffic study and working with the traffic engineers with the town of Castle Rock, you know, we're going to be creating a left deceleration turn lane southbound. And that lane will also continue all the way to the south to connect into the new dealership as well, which I think is just going to be drastically different in that occurrence, and just hopefully make that area a lot safer, you know, for traffic. So this is another zoom in. This is kind of a continuation. This is, you know, here this is showing the improvements made at the existing dealership. And then this is kind of showing that continuation of that left turn lane. So that left turn lane will begin on the north side as you're coming south at the new dealer, at the existing dealership, and will continue through until it meets the proposed dealership here. So the good thing about this is that the through lane, there will be a complete through lane southbound Wilcox to where if you're just heading south, you'll be able to just, you know, cruise by all of the dealerships without, you know, the fear of someone stopping right in front of you to try to turn left. Landscaping plan, obviously with these dealerships, a big key is vehicle inventory. So it does create a bigger parking lot. You know, the benefit is just trying to break that up a little bit with these landscape islands as much as possible. Here's the building elevations. There'll be a combination of stucco, EIFS, ACM, and a decent amount of curtain wall glass. These are just showing some examples of similar facilities that have already been constructed. That concludes my presentation. Happy to answer any questions you all might have.
Thank you, Casey. Councilmember Dietz?
This question may be for Tara Vargas, but we have those where you're building the sidewalks, but you have all that gravel and that dirt. A lot of people like to drive up and try to turn left along a double yellow and then do a U-ey in the dirt and go back north. I do drive that a lot, and I see that enough. So, but I also know with Crystal Valley Interchange coming in, I'd say at least 30% of the traffic will be alleviated that way anyway. So is there something the town can do to address this in conjunction? I don't think it's particularly your site development plan that's causing it. I love the extra left turn lane. So if that's something that we can look at, because I know we're not supposed to be allowing them to drop off vehicles and park that close like they were for a while. The cars were parking out to the street, right? So we might as well address it since there's a new, you know, since we're looking at it.
Yeah, and I think council member.
It's that one right there, yeah.
Yeah, so you're talking about how the dealership has in the past parked vehicles out here?
Yeah, or they drop off and they're, it's
a hazard. Oh, the dropping it off.
Yeah, when they're dropping off.
Then their vehicles, when they exit, they're coming out on here.
And then people sometimes will go down a little further south and then try to turn left and do a U-ey into that dirt. So it's got to be somewhere we keep people from being able to do it. Drive down to the church and do your turn.
Yeah, we'll work with the applicant and Public Works as we look at how they're going to do the construction and see if there's any recommendations.
That's my really only question there.
Yeah,
it's just safety issues.
Yeah, they're going to be changing the curb line in this area as they're widening the road, so we'll see what we can do as a part of that construction set.
Are they allowed to drop off vehicles there? I mean, so close to the road like that? I slow down.
They shouldn't be. So we'll work on that with them.
Yeah. Well, they do all the time.
we'll work on that with them, yes. The right-of-way that's owned by the town is not technically a drop-off zone, so they should be pulling into their property to unload their vehicles. I do know they stage some, as you can see in this aerial, on their display areas. Over the years, there have been cars parked further out, and when we see those, we work with the ownership to move those back out. To get back on their side of the area. So we'll keep working on that, and we'll talk with the owner about where they stage and drop off when they get their big shipments in.
Okay. That's all.
Thank you.
Any further questions for the applicant or staff? Mark Davis?
I try to do a question, but it's more of a statement. thank you for making that road, that extra lane. I know that's taken a little bit of your land to do so, but I see that there's a school down the street that gets backed up quite a bit, so really thank you for thinking about our town and adding that extra couple lanes. I appreciate that. Thank you.
With that, are there any more questions for staff? Seeing none, we move to public comment. I have no one time to speak. If someone wishes to speak, please approach the podium. And speak to the microphone, state your name, whether you are a resident, non-resident, or business owner. You have 4 minutes to speak. Seeing none, we'll bring back town council for a possible motion and discussion.
I move to approve the resolution as introduced by title.
Second.
I have a first by Councilmember Hollingshead, second by Councilmember Davis. Any further discussion? I was going to say, again, I kind of reiterate what Councilmember Davis said. It's nice to have extra lanes, and Councilmember Dietz mentioned as well. I think it would be a lot safer on that road. Thank you very much. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks?
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Aye.
Motion passed unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to number 13 on the agenda, Resolution 2025-141. Resolution approving the third amendment to the services agreement Burns and McDonald Engineering Company, Inc. for Chatfield Pump Back Project for engineering and design services. Mark Marlowe.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a short 1 hour long presentation for you because I know we're early, so we got plenty of time to dig into this water stuff tonight. So, all right. So a little bit of project background here. As you guys will remember, we eventually will own 2,000 acre feet of storage in Chatfield Reservoir. This is something we've been working on for a long time. We already are able to use all 2,000 acre feet, but we still do lease a little bit of that because we haven't finished purchasing all of it. But we have that available to us currently. Ultimately, we want to be able to move that water directly out of Chatfield Reservoir all the way back to Castle Rock. It would go to our reservoirs in Sedalia, from Chatfield Reservoir to Sedalia, and then back to Castle Rock. This project requires a lot of infrastructure. However, we're going to have to, unfortunately, build our own new intake structure and pump station on Chatfield Reservoir. You may remember we tried to work with Denver Water on their existing facility, but unfortunately, we just can't get traction with them to partner on their existing facility because of their concerns regarding permitting and expanding an expanded facility, which may impact their ability to operate. So we have to do our own thing. We also need a booster pump station about halfway, and what we call a storage tank that would be used for hydraulic balancing. And it's about 12 miles of pipeline to get all the way back. Now, you guys will remember, we do already have a pipeline in the ground that we purchased from United Water. But you'll also remember that's a fiber-reinforced plastic pipeline that breaks all the time, really old, and we were always going to have to replace it. So that is part of the long-term plan to ensure we have capacity. We started this project back in 2022, believe it or not, with Burns & McDonald through a competitive award to do preliminary engineering. Worked in 23 and 24 on that preliminary engineering. And then in 25, we took a little bit of a break, and I'll explain that here in a minute. What we want to do is continue with Burns & Mac, who has finalized really kind of the pipeline alignment for us, the location of the intake and pump station on Chatfield Reservoir where we want to do it. We want to go to 20% design next. We want to get all of the permitting in place and figured out. We want to start on land acquisition for our easements. And the biggest issue is we want to get to a point where we can submit an application to the Corps of Engineers for the permit we need for the pump station intake and pipe on the Chatfield Reservoir property. That's going to be the big hurdle. We're going to shoot to get that ready for providing to the Corps by June of next year. And that's a really important date for us. And to that point, I want to talk a little bit about schedule challenges. This is what we're up against, right? So beginning of this year, January, February, we reached out to the Corps to try to get clarification on the application requirements, the level of design for a new permit. We followed up with the Corps on a monthly and sometimes bi-weekly basis to try to get that feedback. And we finally got feedback on September 2nd. 2025, so roughly 8 or 9 months later. Corps couldn't schedule a meeting because of limited funding, unknown when they're going to have the funding to schedule a meeting or provide us. They did let us know we could self-fund our own review, which we may ultimately do. So I'm throwing that out there for council to be aware of. That may be something that we say, we just got to get this done, and we'll self-fund our own review to get through this permitting process. Tonight, obviously, we want to continue the work we've been doing and amend the contract with Burns & Mac to get ourselves to a point where we can submit this permit application, because it's going to take a long time. We are going to limit the design portions, and I'm going to go back to the map here for a second. We're going to limit the design portions in this 20% to the yellow line going from the blue dot on the top of the map, that's on the east side of Chatfield Reservoir, down to the yellow box that you see, and maybe a little bit into that yellow box. But we want to limit the amount of stuff that the Corps will be reviewing, because we'll do the rest of the work outside of the Corps' jurisdiction in a phase two of the project, is the general concept. So, by summer, we hope to be ready to submit this permit application. I do want to just say, for reference, we started the permitting of the Chatfield reallocation, planning and permitting in the early 1990s. And we started storing our first water in 2018. So, takes a while. So we really need to push this forward. We're going to be almost 100% focused on the permitting. Now I'm going to move on to cost. So this second phase, Amendment 3, it's the middle box in the top, $577,000 is what we're requesting tonight to continue this work. To date, we've spent about $349,000 on this. through Burns & Mac. I do want to note Burns & Mac was awarded this through a competitive bid originally, and changing to another engineer now would really just set us back. They've done a lot of work at this point. We want to continue with them for that reason. Now, looking at, I'm halfway through. No, I'm just kidding. I got another 30 minutes, but we're getting close. Looking at the long-term capital budget, this is the key thing for you guys to be aware of. The current estimates are anywhere from $85 to $100 million. This is not a small project. That depends on the final pipe size that we select, final pipeline route, size of the pump station we end up needing. So there's a number of things that are still going to be developed as we go forward in design, but that's a rough order of magnitude of what we're looking at for this project. So you can see if we're at 20% design and we've spent $900,000, we're going to be somewhere $5 or $6 million by the time we get to final full design, maybe a little bit north of that, which I do want to say is a reasonable cost. Typically, design is going to be about 10% of the long-term capital cost of the project. This is currently budgeted for us 2031 to 2035. I do want to note, however, it's totally dependent on permitting because we really can't move forward in 2031 if we don't have that permit. So that's going to be a really big push for us. One of the cool things about this project that, I mean, how many of you like salt? Yeah, everyone likes salt. Do you like salt in your water?
No.
Okay, so one of the challenges we have is with renewable water supply in Plum Creek, in the winter, of course, we add salt to the roads to ensure that we're safe. A lot of that salt is added by CDOT on the major roads, but we do a little bit of that ourselves too. And what it does is this graph, and you don't need to look too hard at the graph, just look at all the green above the orange dotted line. And then if you look at the bottom, that's over the course of a year. That tells you when the salt levels in Plum Creek can exceed what we call the secondary standard, which is where people might start to notice a little bit of salt. Now, currently, we deal with that by blending, with groundwater to a certain extent. But as we move to 100% renewable water, we're going to want to be able to use that water directly. The cool thing about the Chatfield Pumpback Project is its water is very similar to that bottom blue line. It's way below the standard, and it will help us blend the water supplies down so we can use that renewable water throughout the year, even in the winter when we're putting salt on the roads. So that's a pretty cool and exciting piece of this. But again, totally reliant on getting through the core process. So that's where the focus will be. We did take this contract to Castle Rock Water Commission. They unanimously recommended your approval, and obviously staff does too. And I'm happy to answer questions about salt or anything else you guys would like to know more about.
Any questions for Mark Marlow before we're going to public comment? Seeing none, I'll now open this to public. I have no one's time to speak. If someone wishes to speak, please approach the podium, speak in the microphone, state your name, whether you're a resident, non-resident, or business owner. You'll have 4 minutes to speak. Seeing none, now I'll bring back to town council for a proposed motion or possible proposed motion and discussion.
I move to approve the resolution TMP 2025-141 as introduced by title.
Second.
First by Mayor Pro Tem Cavey, a second by Councilmember Bracken. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks?
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Aye.
Motion passed unanimously.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, staff. Time is now 6:58 and change. I'll accept the motion to adjourn the meeting.
Yes, sir.
Second.
First by Councilmember Brooks, second by Mayor Pro Tem Cavey. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead.
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken.
Yes.
Councilmember Davis.
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks.
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
Yes.
Mayor Gray.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much. We're adjourned. Thanks for all your work.